Hey, what is up, everybody? It's Doug Pistorius again, the Zennial Aviator, back again for episode 8. This is going to be a lot of fun today. So as always, I appreciate all the support I've been getting. We're nearing month 2, and the downloads have been steadily increasing. So thank you very much for that. Thank you for getting word out. If you like what you hear, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. If you don't like what you hear, I'd still appreciate if you would go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review and be a bro. That would be really nice. Additionally, my offer still stands as always. If you are local in the Jacksonville area and you leave me a 5-star review, come see me and I will get you a free coffee or free beer. I'm not ashamed to buy votes. That's just kind of how I roll. So with that, please follow me on the socials as well. And if you would like to be a guest on the show, or if you have an idea for the show or comments about the show, hit me up on either the DMs or you can email me at thezennialaviator@gmail.com. Either way works. Just get a hold of me. So today is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for this and I'm pretty hyped to do this interview. I have Mr. Jonathan Leffingwell in the studio / my office with me. And he is our trivia host every Wednesday night for Trivia Nation at V Pizza down in Fleming Island. For those of you local in the Jacksonville area, it's a little bit south. We have a lot of fun. We've been doing this, man, probably about, going on about 4 to 5 years now. But yeah, Jonathan's a very interesting dude. He's always fun to talk to. So I thought this would be a blast to bring him in. And I think we're going to have some fun today. So without further ado, good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for having me on here. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. So before we start, just as a kind of an icebreaker, I'm starting something new. I've been experimenting with different things every episode just to kind of see what I like. So I listened to a couple other podcasts and I like the idea that I heard with a couple guys do is kind of an icebreaker question. So since it really revolves around our Wednesday nights for the most part, what is your favorite 80s action movie?
Oh, there were so many good ones in the 80s. I guess if I had to pick one, I would probably go with Predator.
Predator.
Yeah,
okay.
Predator. Yeah.
Nice.
There's a lot of good ones. I mean, you can't really go wrong with any 80s action movies. The cheesier, the better.
Yes. And that one had an all-star cast, too. You had Schwarzenegger. You had Carl Weathers, RIP, miss you already, Apollo, Jesse Ventura. And I didn't know this until, man, I think it was like a week ago, that Jean-Claude Van Damme was the original Predator. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Not at all.
Yeah. Look it up on the interwebs. There's actually pictures of him in the Predator outfit. So apparently he was the Predator, and I don't know what the whole story was. He got like uber sick or something like that, and they basically needed to cut him out of it. And that's also kind of when he jumped over to start doing Bloodsport, I believe. But they ended up switching him. I want to say it was like halfway through the movie, but never knew that. Knowledge bomb.
No, I didn't know that either. I did see an interview with Bill Hader. And he was talking about, he was on the set. It was either Predator or maybe Collateral. I don't remember which. And that's the first time that Bill Hader met Schwarzenegger. And he said that he does a great Schwarzenegger impression, by the way, because he said that Schwarzenegger comes up to him and he was asking, where somebody was. And Hader says, I'm not sure. Do you want me to go find them? And he goes, find them. Show me your leadership capabilities. And he goes, okay, let me see what I can do. Nice. So Hader was just like an on-set guy at the time. He wasn't even, like in front of the cameras or anything.
Awesome. I love Bill Hader. That dude is hilarious.
He is. He's great.
Yeah. Like you would look at that guy and think he's very nonchalant, but that man is so great at like impersonating people. It's hilarious.
I could watch a whole video and I have watched whole videos of him doing nothing but impressions. They're fantastic. But you know who also has a good Schwarzenegger impression is Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. His is spot on.
Actually. Yeah. Yeah. He did do it. I think he did for one of the, we had a question for Kindergarten Cop and he did that. It's not a tumor. It's not a
tumor. Yeah. He was all over that one.
That is awesome.
Yeah, for those of you listening, Austin, he's my son. He's my scorekeeper at our trivia shows for Trivia Nation. It's actually the first job he's ever had. So while a lot of his buddies were, doing things like working at McDonald's or pizza places or whatever, and obviously there's not a darn thing wrong with that, but let's face it, those jobs aren't fun. The Trivia Nation job, now that's fun. So his friends were all jealous. They were making more money than him, but they were not having the fun that he was having.
Yeah, I would be jealous about that too, because I would love that for a first job. I was a bagger at Cash and Carry back when, I don't know if you guys had those up here north, but Cash and Carry and Food Line, that was my first gig. I was in the grocery store game, but yeah, Predator, man. Good one.
Yeah. My first job was Sbarro's Pizza in the now defunct Mall of Memphis.
Whoa.
Yep. That was fun though.
I never got into the food service thing. Like, I did it once. I worked at Steak and Shake for a whole day whenever they opened one up down around my neck of the woods in Tampa, but I just couldn't get down with it. I'm more of a, at the time, I was more of an introvert as a teenager, so I love the idea of just being the cart boy, going and bagging groceries, and then especially when I got into dairy stock, that was great because I really didn't have to interact with any customers.
No, that's true.
I could just sit in the back. And it's kind of funny because I put that into retrospect now. For like the longest time, I would kind of give this generation, like millennials, a lot of shit because I would think to myself, like, man, you guys are so antisocial. But then I remember myself as a 15, 16-year-old boy, and I was like, okay, I guess I wasn't, you know, I can't really judge too much.
Now, my job at Sbarro's, it really wasn't bad, especially because, you know, it's in the mall. So when you're a teenager, working in the mall is fun. No matter where you work in the mall, you know, it's fun. You're working at the mall. So got to people watch, meet girls, all that other good stuff.
Yeah. Back in the good old days when the mall was actually like awesome.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Those days are gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up a Schwarzenegger movie. I think my favorite action movie, it's probably Commando because I love
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Commando has like, it was just chock full of one-liners and like, they were just all so great. And you had, yeah, literally that was Schwarzenegger already had a couple movies behind him at that point, and he was just kind of getting in his groove. So I feel like the directors of the movie were like, we're just going to make a movie full of one-liners and people are going to love it. And sure enough, there's just gratuitous violence and one-liners.
But yeah. Oh yeah. Those were the best.
Sweet. All right. Well, if you're cool with it, let's just start from the beginning, dude. Like, sure. Just kind of give me your background, where you're from, what you're about, and like, you know, we can go from there.
Okay. Well, I was originally from Memphis, Tennessee. You know, my father was in the Marines, so we kind of moved around a lot when I was a kid. But most of my youth was spent at NAS Millington, which is just north of Memphis. And I grew up there, graduated from high school there. And then I went off to college at Florida State, you know, in Tallahassee.
I'm sorry.
I had a feeling that was coming. But initially I went there because I was going to study marine biology. I was going to be the next Jacques Cousteau.
Nice.
So I get there, and for those of you listening, this was in the days before widespread internet usage. So I didn't know until I got there the courses I was going to have to take. So I got there and I found out I had to take a bunch of physics and chemistry, neither one of which interested me. I loved biology, but not chemistry or physics. And my advisor said, well, you're going to have to take these courses. I'm like, no, I'm not. So I decided to switch majors and I switched over to computers instead. So I started doing studies in computer science and then switched over to management information systems, which basically is just computers in business. And I finished up there in 96, and I've been a computer programmer, software development consultant since, well, 1996, 97. I've been doing that ever since.
Nice. What did your dad do in the Marines?
He was avionics.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
He did some recruiting, but he was also in avionics.
Nice. Yeah, I was an electronics technician before I became a pilot, so pretty similar. That's cool stuff. So what do you currently do with what you do in IT now?
Okay, so I've been on the same project now for about the last 22 years. It's a project for the Air Force, and the contract has switched hands over the years. So I've kind of like switched employers, but on the same project with the same team members that I've been working with for these past 22 years. I worked at Cecil Field for a while. And then when the contract switched hands at one point, we had to move to an office in Orange Park. And I lived in Orange Park, so that was convenient. And then in 2013, a company won the contract that didn't have an office presence in the Jacksonville area. So they said, you guys are just going to have to work from home. And we're like, okay, if you say so. So I've been working from home since 2013. Well, not just home, but anywhere with a internet connection, Wi-Fi, I can go. Sometimes I work from Starbucks because I get tired of staring at my walls.
Nice. So I was going to ask that question actually, because obviously due to the pandemic, that became the big hotness and the big hot topic of working from home, working remotely. And now I enjoy having this discussion with one of my best friends. He works for Disney. He's a designer for Disney down in Orlando. And he got his job right around the pandemic. So a lot of his job was done remotely at first, and now they're making a push to come back. And obviously, as an artist, it's kind of there's kind of a little bit of a disparity there. Like, a lot of them kind of feel like, you know, oh, hey, I can do my job from home. Why do I need to come in? I subscribe to the school of thought. Maybe it's just because I've been in the military so long. I'm not old school enough to where I think people should have to come in every single day. However, because I love the idea of remote work. I'm a self-starter myself. And I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like to do remote work and to work remotely, you kind of have to be your own boss in a sense and be able to manage your time effectively. Time management is huge with that. But I do still see the value in coming in every now and then, possibly, depending on what your job is, for either meetings or I think some face-to-face value is very important, but I'm all for changing the paradigm and, involving more remote work. But obviously I don't own a corporation, so I don't get to have a say in that. But, I guess just you've been doing it for a hot minute. So what's your take on it, pros and cons?
Sure. Actually, everything that you just said, I completely agree with you, because we do work remotely, but once per year we have meetings in person. So most of the time they come here, because our clients are from all over the U.S., especially in climes that are not nearly as warm as ours. So if we have, meetings, we actually just had some last week, and they actually, for the first time, had it up in Dayton, Ohio. Now, a lot of us software developers on the project, like myself, don't need to go there. There's really no value in us going there, but they had the meetings via Microsoft Teams. But they did have people that project managers and stuff that went there to meet in person. So once a year we do get together in person to go over requirements for the, for the year and deadlines and things like that. So yeah, I think a combination of the two is the way to go, because you do have to really exercise discipline and time management in order to do it. Because people say, well, what's to keep you from, just sleeping in or, going to the beach or something like that while you're on the clock? And the honest to goodness answer is because I have a deadline. And if I don't meet my deadline, they're going to want to know why. So that's my incentive right there to get the work done. And fortunately, our schedule is flexible enough to where, if I take time off to come do something like this, then I can just make it up when I get home. I can work till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night if I want to. As long as what I'm working on gets done, they don't care.
That's awesome. And I think everybody looks at that as kind of the grass is greener on the other side thing. But I really do feel like it takes kind of a special breed of person to be able to do that, because time management's huge. And just being able to, in my humble opinion, it's awesome to be able to have that flexibility. I've always thrived under that kind of work atmosphere. I'm the kind of person, I don't like somebody helicoptering over me and asking me what I'm going to be doing every 5 seconds.
Exactly.
And maybe that's PTSD from my parents. I don't know, but I'm one of those, I love the fire and forget type of leadership where it's like, hey, the expectation, what I'm expecting. Here's your deadline. Get it done. I don't care how or when you do it, because yeah, I'm the same way. I would look at this, it's a beautiful Friday today outside. If, depending on what I had to do, if it was something where it's I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out and enjoy a day with my wife or go to the beach or whatever. I have no problem coming back home and knowing that, hey, I'm going to grind it out until whenever tonight. So that's really cool. And I'm glad that we brought this up. I totally didn't know you were a remote worker for that long. So that gives a really cool perspective. And hopefully that gives some insight to people who are very advocate on either side of the fence, because I know a couple of people who listen, there are very differing opinions. A couple guys I know, they're very much of the traditional old school mindset, and other people are very much of the, let's go remote mindset.
Sure. We have some project managers that when we first started doing this, I would get, for example, I'd get a instant message from my project manager first thing in the morning. And he would say hey, did you see that Vikings Cardinals game last night? Knowing that I don't give a rip about either one of those two teams. And that was his way of saying, are you on right now? So, I mean, it took him some adjusting, because a bunch of times I wanted to say, I'm working. I am working. Okay, I'm here. But I'm like, no, I understand. He's, kind of set in his ways. And it does take some getting used to if you're not used to it, to doing it that way. For example, some of my friends that work for other companies that allow them to work from home, they have the software that monitors their activity in terms of, oh, you haven't clicked your mouse in 3 minutes. Are you still there? Type stuff.
Wow.
That kind of micromanaging, I think, would really bother me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be micromanaged like that. At the end of the day, are you getting what you need from your worker? Yes or no? And they get what they need from me. If they don't, they're going to fire me. It's really that simple. So there's my incentive to get the work done.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. I didn't know there was, I should have assumed, but I didn't know there's programs like that.
Oh, it's crazy.
I know my brother-in-law, he works for a pharmaceutical company, and he can work remotely some days of the week as well. And I guess he has a limitation on him. Actually, my sister does too. My sister works for Publix corporate, and she works remotely a couple days a week, but I guess they're monitored by VPN. So it's kind of one of those, yeah, you're remotely, but you can't be going to like Hawaii for a week to work remotely. And yeah, I mean, I still think that's kind of cool. I mean, you know, you got to have some rules, but you know, still, I think it's kind of interesting, some of the monitoring that's put into place with that.
Right. So like, for example, for my project, you know, back before my father passed away, I'd go up to Memphis and visit him and mom a lot. And while I was up there, I'd leave on a Saturday and bring my work laptop with me and then stay with them for a week and work from mom's kitchen table. I'd connect to their VPN, but I work from mom's kitchen table. So that kind of flexibility was nice. Over the years, I've had companies approach me and say, hey, I've got a job opening. It pays this much. And I'm like, well, that's slightly more than what I'm making right now. Can I work from home? No, but I'm not interested.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're going to give up another 20 grand to, yes, I am. Absolutely, I am. To have the kind of flexibility and peace, especially because my kids were in school at the time.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, I'm going to give that up. I mean, to keep a job like that, this one, I got it made.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I feel like at that point, that would kind of be a non-negotiable for me as well. Sweet. All right. So we got a good idea what you do now. Let's talk about the meat and potatoes here. How did you get into trivia? How did you get into, you know, you can start from the beginning, like when did you start doing trivia? When did you find out about this stuff? You know, and then we can progress on to, you know, how you got into the hosting gig.
Sure, sure. So I've been playing trivia since I was probably 11 years old. You know, my dad and some of his Marine Corps buddies and their wives would come over and I'd want to spend time with my dad. And he's like, well, go play with your brother. I'm like, he's lame. And he's like, yeah, well, we're, you know, doing adult things here. And they were playing trivia and they asked a trivia question. I knew the answer. So I said it. And my dad's like, hey, why don't you pull up a chair here? So I started playing trivia, I guess, when I was about 11 or 12 years old, and I've just been interested in it ever since. You know, when I was in school, I was on the Knowledge Bowl team and academic decathlon and stuff like that. I've enjoyed trivia for so long. Well, I didn't know the Trivia Nation was a thing until 2015. I had just moved to Orange Park at the time, down the road from Buffalo Wild Wings by the Orange Park Mall, and they used to have Trivia Nation shows on Wednesday. I didn't know that. I just went up there one Wednesday just to get, you know, dinner and a couple of beers, and I see this live trivia thing happening. I'm like, this looks like it's a lot of fun. And there was a table next to me of some 20-year-olds, you know, 20-somethings that didn't know the answer. So I leaned in and told them the answer. Yeah, first they were like, who the heck are you? But then they're like, well, who cares? I mean, he knows the answer. We don't. So I helped them out for the rest of the show. And it was so much fun. I said, do you guys do this every Wednesday? They said, yeah. I said, I'll see you next week. I played with them for the next three years.
Nice.
So I really enjoyed playing. Well, as far as how I got into hosting, we were at one of our shows, our usual Wednesday venue, and we had to go to the Facebook page to get the free answer. And when we were at the Facebook page for the free answer, there was a post there that says now hiring hosts. So I looked at my friends and I said, guys, I think I could do this. And they're like, dude, you can totally do this. I said, well, I'll apply. So I applied. I didn't hear anything for about 3 weeks. And I kind of figured out why, because on the application, it says, what is your day job? So I said what my day job was. And I'm sure they looked at it and went, nerd, not going to hire this nerd. So I just thought that was the end of it. Well, after about 3 weeks, the owner of Trivia Nation, Steve Howard, showed up and he was our guest, our replacement or substitute host for the evening. Our usual host was out. So when the show was over, I went up and talked to him and he and I hit it off very well. And I told him that I had applied to be a host. So he gave me his business card and said, you know, get in touch with me and we'll set up your training. So I was fortunate in that, you know, the owner of the company was there and I was able to go directly to him.
Nice.
So I went to training. My first training session went spectacularly well. My second one, I thought I did pretty well, but the guy who was training me, his name's Lee. Lee's a great host too. Lee was pointing out everything that I needed to improve on, everything I needed to do. I took it as nitpicking at the time, but it wasn't. It was just, I was getting hit by so much. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I doing this wrong? But I got a good response from the crowd. So I thought, I don't know, maybe I'm doing it right. So the next day, Steve called me and he said, you know, when can you start? I'm like, as soon as you need me. So about a week or two after that, I got my first show, which was the Mellow Mushroom at Jack's Beach, and started doing that one. And at first, that was the only night I had shows. And then from that point on, I'd pick up one here, pick up one there, substituted whenever I could. So it took off from there. And
just curious, what year was this?
It was February of 2018 that I became a host. And he asked me if I had anybody to be a scorekeeper. And I said, well, my son, Austin. Austin is, at the time, Austin was 19 years old. And Austin, he's high functioning autistic and was pretty introverted. After about a month on the job, he started talking to some of the teams. I'm like, holy smokes, this is wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been great therapy for him. And now, I mean, you see, he'll come over and talk to you guys. He'll talk to a bunch of other guys that are there. And when we first started, there's no way he was going to do that. And now he does. So it's been phenomenal therapy. And you've seen him, he'll get on the mic and do impressions and things like that. So it's been wonderful to see him come out of his shell as a result of this.
No, that's really awesome. And I think that's kind of cool that happened, because I would have never known in a million years that he was on, you know, obviously we've talked before about that, but I would have never known in a million years if I just walked in the place that, you know, Austin had any form of autism, because obviously just being exposed to this and just kind of doing such a extrovert job, it's really really helped him out with that. It's awesome.
It has, the average Joe or Jane, if they were to talk to him, probably wouldn't pick up on him being in the spectrum, because he's engaging. Let's see, he drives, he's graduated from college. Every time I turn around, he's got a girlfriend. He's your typical, now 25-year-old kid, and he's just having the time of his life doing this. And it's been very heartwarming for me to see him come out of his shell. And now he's working full-time for the Walmart Neighborhood Market on San Pablo, but he still does the trivia shows. So I have a Thursday show, but he's not my scorekeeper there because he's working that night. Mm-hmm. And he said he wishes they would switch his schedule around so he could work that night too. I mean, if he had it his way, he'd be working all 7 days doing trivia. He just loves it that much.
That's awesome.
And so do I.
Yeah. And he's awesome at it too. He has a blast and he has a fan following now. He has his own team, Austin's Angels. That's awesome.
That's right. He thought it was so cool when they did that. And I did too. The thing about him is, and I know you've seen this too, Austin's very generous when he scores. He's very generous. If you were in the same zip code as the right answer, he's going to give you your points.
Thank you, Austin.
Yeah, people are happy that he's the scorekeeper and not me. I wouldn't be draconian, but I would not be nearly as lenient as he is. But at least he's consistent. He doesn't show favoritism towards any teams. He shows favoritism towards all teams.
Yeah. No, he does an awesome job. I was thinking about the MLM Mushroom thing when you started there. It's kind of funny. Obviously, it's a lot of years displaced, but that's where actually I started doing trivia for the first time, was Mellow Mushroom and Jack's Beach as well.
No kidding.
Way back in 2003.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. When I was first here enlisted, I was on the Kennedy. So I lived out in Mayport. I lived off of Hodges. Me and my buddy Matt had an apartment out there. And we pretty much the south side of Jack's, we ran the trivia circuit. Me and a couple dudes from the boat, we would go to the Mellow Mushroom and Jack's Beach. I think the Beach Bar actually did trivia for a while there. And there was one other place, but we would pretty much do at least 3 to 4 nights a week, we would be hitting different places and going to do trivia. So that's kind of cool. You technically got your start in the same place I learned how to play trivia as well.
Yeah, that is funny. What was also cool about that is I had back-to-back shows on Monday. I had the Mellow Mushroom, and then immediately afterwards, I had to go over to Surfer, the bar. But, about 8 or 9 times out of 10, there weren't enough people there to play. So I would just hang out there, drink a beer or two, wait for people to show up. They wouldn't, and we would leave. Mondays at Surfer were not the ideal venue for that, which is a shame because their sound system that I plugged into was spectacular. The people there are great. The food there is great. The atmosphere is great. But for some reason, just Mondays just didn't attract a whole lot of people. So I think the biggest crowd we ever had there was maybe 30 people. So they closed on Mondays and then stopped doing trivia on Mondays. I think they took it on Wednesdays, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. But obviously, I have a Wednesday show, so not doing that one.
With the team you started with, do you still do trivia with them? Do you still have a core team that, I guess a static team of people you do trivia with if you do it, or are you kind of busy?
No, at first, when I had just one and then two shows, I would still play on Wednesday with my team. And every once in a while, when we were doing the Wednesday shows, we would get the same pop culture questions I just asked the night before. So when that would happen, I wouldn't answer any of the questions. I would just let them go. And I'd let them know, hey, guys, you know what? I had these questions last night, so I can't really help you. I mean, if you're asking me, is this right? I can tell you one time yes or no, but I'm not going to help us win because I know the answers to the questions. I'm not doing that. But most of the times we get a different set of questions so I could play. And then once I got the Wednesday show, then I wasn't able to play with them anymore and they stopped playing and then I felt bad. And then since then, your life just took them different directions. Some of them don't even live here anymore.
Gotcha.
So I don't have, but when we did play, our team name was Anne Frank's Hide and Seek Club.
Nice. Okay. I'm not going to feel, actually, I am going to feel pretty bad when I tell you the name of mine.
Oh, please.
And I'm going to go ahead and blank it out. But the name of our, I want to say this now. Like, it's amazing what happens after like 20 years of growing. Like,
sure. Yeah, yeah.
You go from like, this sounds funny as a 20, 21 year old kid to now 42. I'm like, the name of our team was.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
But see, that's my favorite part of the job is reading the team names out. Even some like that just make you wince. I do it because A, it's your team's name, and B, I want to hear the reaction from the people when they hear it. When I read a funny team name, yeah, the name is funny to me. And even if I'm just repelled by it, I'm going to read it because I want to hear everybody else's response to it. Now, there are some that I absolutely will under no circumstances read if they are, I mean, like overtly offensive, like racially offensive or something like that. For example, one year we had a team, their team name was I Heart Police Brutality.
Wow.
So I said, all right, at halftime with however many points, I Heart Police. And I left it at that. Knowing they would come up to object, and they did. I said, if you want me to say something different, give me a different name. I can't use that. You know, there's no way I can use that. I could get fired just by reading this name out loud.
Yeah.
Because another host had gotten fired by reading something out that was racially offensive, and he didn't think it was that bad. And well, management disagreed. So I don't veto much, but every once in the bluest of moons, I have to tell somebody I can't allow this team name. And sometimes I can, I'll modify it. For example, you know, I think Wednesday night we had a team called Snoop's Bitches. Well, because Wednesday is considered a family friendly venue, I said biatches. So and they came up, they said, no, we're bitches. No, I know that, but I can't say that here. Now my Tuesday show at the VP's at the beach. Oh, I absolutely can say that there. I can say things there. I can play songs there that I can't do on Wednesday or I would get fired. I mean, Tuesday we get a sing along of Get Low by Lil Jon.
Wow.
But we don't need kids on Wednesday going up to mom and dad going, what does sweat drop down my balls mean? I can't have that.
So different, and you're absolutely correct, because this is a spark of memories now of whenever I did trivia in Tampa in college. Different venues obviously allow for different demographics. So like, for instance, yeah, Wednesday nights, pretty family friendly at a V Pizza. Usually a lot of kids rolling around, but that reminds me of times. So when I left the Navy and I went back home to Tampa, we used to do trivia on Tuesday and Thursday nights at these bars called The Hangout. There was two different venues. There was one by USF, and then there was one in the country area. It's called Lutz, Florida. It's up north of Tampa. And they were dive bars. So we were pretty much at like our mid-20s. We were like some of the youngest people in there. So it was always hilarious. There was like a group of like three of us. It was like me, my buddy Matt, and then a couple of our other degenerate friends. And there'd be, you know, I'd say 7 times out of 10, we'd run the table on these people. And like a lot of these are just like old, like doctors and lawyers, just like in your normal fixtures to the bar. So it was always kind of fun, but things would get a little vulgar there. And, you know, the questions got a little bit rowdy as well. And then afterwards they'd have karaoke immediately in the back. So everybody's just got pretty crazy, but a different dynamic depending on where you play games at.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We see that. And part of my job also is when I walk into a place, whether I'm subbing or whether it's my usual venue, is I kind of look around and read the room, so to speak. Like, for example, one time I had to fill in at Harp's American Grill. Used to be Harpoon Louie's over in, I think it's in Five Points or Avondale or whatever. And when I got there, a lot of bikers, a lot of like, I mean, when I say bikers, like the old guys, the long gray silver ponytails and stuff, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be playing some classic rock today, maybe playing some Skynyrd. But then I noticed there were a couple of, you know, young groups that were in there too. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll be playing some Usher and things like that. So when I was playing the classic rock, you know, the bikers are like, hey, man, your playlist is real good. I like that. And then I play Usher. What the hell is that you're playing right now? I'm like, hey, man, it's not just you guys in here.
So what you're saying was it wasn't like that Genuine music video Pony. Like all the bikers didn't start getting up and dancing.
No, they did not. they did not. It would have been fun if they did, but no, they didn't.
Yeah.
So, and like my Thursday show, which is at the Miller's Ale House at the Avenues, that's a pretty diverse crowd. I've got people from all age groups in there. I mean, senior citizens down to, you know, early 20s. So I kind of mix up my playlist here and there. Plus, you can still play older songs that are still timeless. You know, young people still like Get Down Tonight, YMCA. You know, they like the older songs like that. But if I'm playing Mustang Sally, the younger kids are going to go, what in the world is this? But sometimes I will, because, you know, to make the older people, they're happy. And then I'll play Lizzo and the older people are like, what is this? So,
yeah,
gotta mix it up.
I can see that. And it's kind of funny you say that. First, I think that's kind of a really important quality to have, I guess, as a entertainer slash host, is the fact that you got to be able to go into a room like that and just feel out the audience and feel out who's in there. And it is kind of funny because, so for those who don't know, our Wednesday night trivia is based, it's pop culture trivia based from the years 1980 to 2019 now. But every now and then, whenever I always kind of, I don't cringe, but I always just kind of chuckle in the back of my head whenever you play something before 1980. I'm like, this is from 1970 something, Jonathan. Right. But obviously you're playing it for somebody who's, you know, you got to feel the room out a little bit. I think I know most of them, but where do you do all your venues now? We're all in Jacksonville, or all your shows during the week?
Okay, so I have a Tuesday show, which is at the V Pizza Flask and Cannon in Jack's Beach. It's right beside Lynch's, across from the Jack's Beach Pier. That's a Tuesday show, and that starts at 7:30, and that's an 80s, 90s, 2000s pop culture show like what you were just talking about. The Wednesday show is at V Pizza Fleming Island on Highway 17, which starts at 7, and that is also an 80s, 90s, and 2000s pop culture show. And then my Thursday show is at the Miller's Ale House at the Avenues Mall. It used to be Buca di Beppo, right there at Phillips Highway and Southside intersection. And that is a general knowledge. So what I like to do for my pop culture shows at the beginning, when I'm introducing it and welcoming everybody there, I say, you know, our questions are between the years 1980 and 2019. So if you do not know the capital of Pakistan, we don't either. And it's a good line to get some of the younger players to going, okay, good, because I don't know the capital of Pakistan. So that's great. So it engages them more. And Thursday, I don't say that because we just might ask you the capital of Pakistan at that show. So I don't say that there. What is kind of funny, though, is because, you know, you've seen me do this for years. So, you know, the intro script that I do, I can kind of do in my sleep. It's kind of like the, you know, flight attendants that you see. They go through their spiel and they say it so fast and they don't even pay any attention to what they're saying because they say it a million times. And it's mainly for the benefit of people who don't know. For the people that do know, they just kind of tune it out. So, I mean, when I used to play, our host would go over the rules. All I would hear is Charlie Brown's teacher before I would hear question one. Wah, 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 wah. All right, your round one categories. It's like, okay, now I'll pay attention.
Well, it's funny you say that, and I'm going to feel borderline bad telling you this, but every now and then, while me and Nicole are filling out our question cards, while you're doing the rules, I sometimes lip sync what you're saying in front to Nicole.
You're laughing. Not the only one, and you're not the first, trust me. Yeah. Not offended.
I don't do it to make fun of you. I'm not offended. I've been there so long now, I have it down as well, so I just start saying.
You can say the script in your sleep. You've heard it enough.
Probably. But actually, since we're on this topic, let's bring this up. So you talked about your initial training and kind of doing a couple shows. What were some of the biggest hurdles you found, or what were some of the things you needed to work on to improve to kind of get you to where you are now? I ask this because I feel like doing this job is one of those things some people take for granted, and they look at and they walk and like, oh man, I can ask some questions and I can spout out some things. But I'm going to tell you right now, like the times you were off for, you know, vacation, sickness, fill in the blank, whatever, you know, we've had a couple good hosts that I can remember off the cuff, but they're not all hosts are created equal in terms of trivia. Some are good and some are like, you know, and I think you notice it sometimes too, because you got teams who like to change their names all the time, like Bill. You know, the times you're gone, it's always welcome back, Jonathan, or something of the derivative. Right. So what are some things you had to work on to kind of get yourself to where you're at?
One thing I think about my very first show, and I was very nervous, A, because it was my first show, and B, you know, my boss, the owner of Trivia Nation, Steve Howard, was there. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to mess this up. Now, one of the things, of course, if you're going to do this, is you have to be okay being up in front of everybody, being the center of attention, even though the show's about the trivia and not about the host. That said, the host can, you know, supplement or take away from the overall trivia experience. So you can have hosts that are, you know, are average in their delivery and things like that, but they can still have a really good show. But you have other hosts where, you know, maybe they need some more training, or they try to do some things that are not in their strength, and that can kind of take away from the show. So I wanted to try to just, you know, do the best I could. And one of the best pieces of training I got basically says, be yourself. Don't try to be me. The first guy who trained me, he was young. He was smart, articulate, charismatic. And I thought, wow, man, this is going to be a tough act to follow. He goes, I mean, you're following me. You're not replacing me. And I'm like, okay, well, no, that's true. So one thing I had to learn early on was basically be aware of my own strengths and weaknesses and then cater the show towards that. Things I wasn't very good at, I needed to stay away from. Things that I thought I excelled at, I needed to work towards, you know, having a sense of humor, being able to do impressions, being engaging with people. I needed to do that. That's one of the big hurdles I have. But probably the single biggest hurdle I had for my first two shows, time management. Because we are told a show should never last less than an hour and 45 minutes and should never exceed 2 hours. So that sweet spot right there is where I want to finish the show. And my first show, I think, went about 2:10, 2:15. And the people who came up to me, they said, you did a good job, but you need to speed things along a little bit. And part of that was me not understanding the dynamics, such as, like, if you ask a tough question, you know, if you ask an easy question, as you've seen, everybody runs up there with their answers at the same time. If it's a tough question, nobody's going to be doing that. One or two teams maybe, and then the rest of them just kind of trickle in here and there. So I would say to, you know, to Austin, my scorekeeper, I'm like, all right, guys. I said, Austin, I give him a 1 minute warning. He goes, Dad, I've only got two answers so far. Well, if it's a question that I asked like 3-4 minutes ago and all we have is one or two, what that tells me, I didn't know it then, but what that tells me now is this is going to be a tough question that not a lot of people are going to get right. So I can't hold the show up because they're not going to remember. I can give them all the time in the world. They're not going to know. So I have to speed that along. So time management was critical for me to learn early on. That was one of the bigger challenges. But after about maybe two, possibly three shows, I think I got the hang of that. So then I didn't want it to go too fast. I wanted it to go too slow. But I start looking at how many, you know, answers were coming in. Like sometimes you'll hear me go, 1 minute, guys, 1 minute. I don't ever time to see if it's really 1 minute. It's just a light of fire under people's feet. And I'll usually do that if, like, you know, 75, 80% of the answers are in, I'll go ahead and give a 1 minute warning. So, and sometimes you get easier questions, other times not so much. So sometimes the show might go quicker than it otherwise would. So that's one of the big challenges I had to have was time management.
Nice. And I want to prefix for everybody, because Jonathan mentions it in every show, for our rounds of trivia, he does not write the questions. So to your point about that, we always do find it comical. Obviously, I don't want to know because it takes the fun. I have no clue who writes the questions either, but it is always interesting. Every week, you can kind of get a feeler for the questions, like, and you can get a feel for who was writing these questions, because sometimes they're, you know, every now and then they'll just sprinkle a couple of the hard ones in there. But yeah, I'd say once every like 6 or 7 weeks or so, you get one just round that it's like, dude, where did they come up with these questions?
Yeah, I'm not going to throw any of my fellow question writers under the bus, but I've actually messaged them sometimes too going, dude, did your wife make you mad this morning? You ain't got to take it out on my trivia teams, dude, by writing questions like that. What's wrong with you? But now I do write questions for Trivia Nation. I write a set of general knowledge and a set of pop culture. I almost never, 99.999% of the time on Wednesdays, do not get my questions. I get one of my other question writers' questions. Now, oftentimes on my Tuesday show, I'll get my questions. And I like getting my own questions, and I don't like getting my own questions. I like getting them because if there's something that requires explanation, I know what I was trying to say. So I can explain that better to people in case it wasn't clear. I don't like getting them. So if somebody comes up and said, man, that question sucked. And I'm thinking, shut up, it did not. Wow, the host is getting defensive. What's wrong with him?
I know what I was asking.
Exactly. So in my Thursday show, they rotate the general knowledge. So about like once a month, once every 5 or 6 weeks, I'll get my own questions for my Thursday show. And I try to write mine in such a way to where it starts off a little easy and then ramps up as the show goes on. Because I don't want to just, you know, kick you in the teeth right out of the gate. Because if that happens enough, people will stop coming.
Yeah.
If it's like, wow, man, the first question and it's asking me what is the third moon of Jupiter, nobody's going to want to keep coming if that's the questions you're starting off with. I mean, as you ramp up and get into the second half, yeah, okay, maybe.
Is it Phobos or Titan? No.
Titan is Saturn, yeah.
Yeah. But now you got me thinking. I'm sorry. <That's all right. laughs>
I do that too. As a matter of fact, it's funny you say that because just the other night at my Tuesday show, actually, no, I'm sorry, it was the Wednesday show. I said, so if you do not know the capital of Pakistan, we don't either. And some guy in the front row says, Karachi. I said, it's Islamabad. Not the point.
That was me.
Was it you?
Yeah.
That was me. I forgot about that.
No. Yeah. I was being a smart ass.
Oh, that's right.
And you, but no, totally I was wrong.
You're not the first one to do that. I mean, honestly, over the years, if I had a dollar for every time somebody did that, man, I could take a week off. I've gotten that a lot. So it wasn't just you.
No, you put me back in my place and I appreciate
well,
that.
Well, it's only because the first time somebody said that, I'm like, well, crap, I don't know. Now I need to look it up. Don't know until you know.
No, facts. So I guess, with, if I'm allowed to pull back the curtain a little bit here. So the trivia, the question, or is it basically all the fellow hosts writing, are the hosts of the games also the question writers? Is that pretty much how that works?
There are some, yeah. There are some of the question writers that are also hosts, and we have some question writers that are not hosts. Maybe they were at one time and they're not now. So it's a combination of some. So I would say probably, I do know, okay, I know that there's four of us for sure that write questions, and three of us host shows, and the fourth one, I don't think he does. Maybe he did in the past, but he doesn't now. So yeah, so that's how that works. And to me, having a host write questions is advantageous because we understand how the show works. We understand the flow. We understand people's reactions and things like that. So in the beginning, when I first started writing questions, I initially was writing questions of things that I had an interest in. And after a couple of shows, I'm like, no, that's not the way I need to be doing this. So every week that I write questions now, I have every set of questions I have ever written dating back to 2018.
Wow.
So that way I could go back and say, okay, like if I'm writing general knowledge, what was the halftime subject matter last week? Okay, I'm not going to use the same one again this week. What was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? So I try to mix it up to where the subject matter for halftime and final question isn't always the same. Or if I ask a music question, then maybe I did an 80s music song last week. Maybe I'll do a 2010s music question this week. So I always try to mix it up that because I understand that, especially for general knowledge, it's going to be a diverse crowd. So if I'm always asking nothing but 80s music questions, then the younger players are going to get upset and maybe stop coming. So I've got to keep things like that in mind whenever I write questions.
Yeah. We think that's always kind of funny too. Like the cool thing about the range of pop culture years is you get such a diverse crowd in V Pizza with that. There's teams that are like, for instance, there's a couple newer teams we know. So it looks like they're all just a bunch of kids who are in their 20s. Whereas then you got, you know, old fogies like us who are in our 40s who are around for this stuff. But even those kids in their 20s, man, they're still like crushing it with some of these questions. And it's nice because it's such a large year gap that, you know, there might be things that I know cold, but then there's other things I don't have a clue on. And those kids are like, oh yeah, it's boom, you know, so.
Yeah, we get that a lot, especially for our pop culture shows in round two. Like on Tuesday night, we had a song, Sweet But Psycho by Ava Max. Now, people our age might not have any idea who the heck she is.
Right? Not at all.
Whereas the younger players, they were all over that. They were excited that song was being played. And then we'll play, you know, Safety Dance, Men Without Hats. And the young kids have no idea about Men Without Hats. They might figure the song out just by the name of it, by hearing the lyrics over and over there. Men Without Hats, who's that? So that's where you can definitely see the age gap come into play. And when I used to play, like I mentioned, all of my teammates are in their 20s and I'm not. So the first question with pop culture we got was Family Ties. They had no idea what it was. I said, sit back, guys. I got this one. Next was Lord of the Rings. I said, I'm going to get a beer. You guys talk amongst yourselves. So it worked out very well.
Yeah, I love seeing the dynamics of teams. And if you come to a place long enough, you kind of get an idea, especially if you start talking to people of who's who and what their specialties are and stuff like that. And it is very wild that especially some of your good teams who consistently perform, it seems that each member sort of has their particular strengths and weaknesses. So for instance, on our team, Nicole's really good with when it comes to like 90s hair bands, alternative music, and really anything that deals with like pop culture, 1990s, she's with it. Whereas if it deals with anything with the 1980s or commercials or video games or really like anything that's just like mainstream, I can usually dig onto it. But then our friends, Nate and Mary, they're pretty solid when it comes to country music. It's not, I don't like, you know, I like country music. It's good beer drinking music, but it's not like I can't, like, for instance, you just said Men Without Hats. I can sit here and say, okay, yeah, that was from 1983, I believe. And I'm probably within the ballpark if I'm not on.
No, you're spot on. Yeah, you're spot on.
Whereas if you ask me when, you know, an Alan Jackson song is, they all sound the same to me. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No,
that's where our friend Mary comes in and she's able to do that.
At the end of the day, what I tell people, especially anybody who goes, oh, I'm no good at trivia, is I always tell people this, listen, At the risk of sounding obvious, you know what you know, you don't know what you don't know. So if we're asking questions that are in your wheelhouse that night, you are going to kick butt and take names. If we ask questions that you don't really know anything about, then you're going to crash and burn. I like to tell people about when I used to play, we were always top three going into the final question pretty much every single week. And then, of course, the final question messes everybody up. But one week we were like seventh place going into the final question because they were just asking everything that night that we didn't know anything about. The host comes over to tease us. He said, "What's happening tonight?" I said, "I want 5 minutes alone with the guy that wrote these questions tonight, man. I'm not happy with this at all." And so on the final, we bet 15 and we were right and finished third. We were more proud of that third place finish than any time we had ever won because we felt like we really earned it that night, right? We had to work hard for it that night. Then the next week, we had a perfect score going into the final question. You know what you know, you don't know what you don't know.
So since you bring that up, I'm kind of curious your thought process on this. Let's talk about whenever usually your team would be with, let's say, you know, you guys go into the final question. So for those of you who haven't played team trivia before or don't know, at least the house rules we work with is final question, as Jonathan always puts, is the great equalizer. And it really is. You can bet up to 0 or 15 of your points, and it really does make or break the team, and it can really place you or not place you. But we kind of, I'm not going to give away my team's mojo, especially after this airs, in case other people I play with listen. But what is your hot take, or what was your team's hot take? Let's say you were going into it and you were in the top three or four, and it was, yeah, basically, let's say all the scores, usually like how we kind of are, like, you know, you're 1 or 2 points apart. What was your mentality on betting all or none or some? Did you guys have like a method to your madness?
Yeah, we did. And one thing I've like to tell players who do this is, you know, if when you're going into the final question, for those of you that are listening, if you ever watch Jeopardy, normally, not always, but oftentimes you'll see like two people that are doing very well, and then the third person who's just getting his or her tail kicked. Okay. You could almost always bet that third person is going to risk it all or nearly all. And sometimes they'll get it right. The other two will get it wrong, and that person winds up winning. That's kind of the point with our final question for our Trivia Nation shows as well. You can risk up to 15 points. And as Doug mentioned, most of the teams going into the final question are just within a few points of each other. Every once in a while, you'll have somebody, you know, kicking wholesale ass and be up by 13, 14 points, but not often. It's rare. I've been doing this for 6 years, and I can count the number of times I've seen that on one hand. So it just doesn't happen very often. So the calculus that goes into it is, okay, first of all, you listen to the question. How confident are you that you know the answer? The next thing you ask yourself is, all right, what is our goal here? I mean, obviously the goal is to win, but what's more important, finishing in the top four to get one of those gift cards or winning? Then you also have to ask yourself, what do I think about whether or not anybody else here is going to get this right? And you're not always going to get that part right, of course, but you can go, all right, like for example, it seems like a pretty tough question. We're feeling on a scale of 1 to 10, X is how, you know, how we feel about it. All that goes into your decision process. Now, some people it's like, hey, go big or go home, and they risk everything. Period. End of discussion. Thanks for coming. Now, if you're, in my opinion, if you're below like fifth place, you should probably bet it all anyway, because you're not going to finish in the top four unless you get it right anyway. I mean, you possibly could, like if everybody above you bets and you bet nothing, but 9 times out of 10, I would say if you're fifth or below, go big. Definitely go big. If you're in first place, ask yourself, how confident am I with my answer? How confident am I that anybody else is going to get this right? What is my goal? To win, place, whatever. And all that goes into the thought. And when I used to play, that was it too. We had one guy on our team, Sean. He was always, let's bet 15. I'm like, dude, none of us have even heard of these movies. How the hell are we supposed to put these in order and bet 15? I'm not betting 15. In a situation like that, we were content to go, you know what, bet 0, because we have no flipping idea. And if we get jumped, we can live with that. You know, the team that jumps deserves to. We can live with that. So, yeah, different strokes for different folks.
That's funny. It makes me think on a couple times with our team and how we bet. I can remember, and it's almost spot on. We have a little bit of a different method to our madness with how we go about things, but I can remember one time distinctly, and it happened, I think, just a couple months ago. Our other two teammates weren't there, or they left, I think, halfway through, and it was just me and Nicole. And we got to the final question, and we bring our baby with us. He's 8 months now, but he's really chill, but he wasn't having it this night. He was just losing it. I think he started teething, and it got to the final question and I didn't have a flip. I didn't have a flipping clue. And it was like a sports question. Nicole's just looking at me clueless. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, here's what we're going to do. We know this happened here. So boom. And I went up within like the first 10 seconds. I even told Austin, I was like, hey dude, just let me know if I'm right really quick. Like, cause we're going to go, like we have to, the baby's crying. And like, he's like, yeah, you want to stick around for a second. And sure enough, like, and I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like I didn't use any sort of knowledge whatsoever. I just completely pulled this out of a swag and we ended up taking first place because nobody else had a clue whatsoever about it.
Yeah. I've had people say, oh my gosh, I was so lucky to get that. And what I like to tell them is if you ever watch basketball and you see the guy that heaves the ball from like, you know, behind half court, the ball goes in the hoop. How many points did that guy get for that? 3. Was it luck? Yeah. I couldn't help but notice the 3 points are still on the scoreboard, though.
Yeah.
So whether it's luck or whether it's skill makes no difference. If you get it right, you get it right. Because, I mean, yeah, and oftentimes that happens with trivia, too. I don't know. I'm going to guess this. Holy smokes, I'm right. Yeah, it happens. And, yeah, Austin is, like, never going to tell somebody if they get the last question right, unless it's like you guys, where it's like, look, we have a baby and we need to go. Do I need to stick around or not? At that point, he will. Otherwise, when people come up and say, am I right? He always tells them, we let the final one ride.
Yeah.
If they have a problem with it, they can come talk to me, but nobody ever does. They're like, all right, fine. Plus, what I used to play, what we would do is when we would turn our answer slip in, we'd look it up. But for the final question, we never would. Final question, we never would. And we wouldn't always look up every question to see if we were right. Sometimes we would. Like, for example, the actor, you know, in round 5. All right, name up to 5 Jack Black movies. So if we can only think of like 4, then we go start looking. Oh, crap. I forgot about, you know, Shallow Hal Grant.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, we'd pretty much let them write. But if anybody looks, yeah, I don't really. But or we turn one in for the year for round 2. I think the song came out in 97. So we'll turn it in. Maybe we'll look that up. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But for the final question, we always said, no, we're not looking it up. You know, let's just write it out and see if we're right or if we're wrong.
We're kind of completely the opposite on that one. I don't like looking up the questions. I used to do it as a kid back in the day. But to me, I like the anticipation now.
Yeah, I agree. That makes it fun.
It's part of the excitement. But we do have a team member, and they'll look it up, especially the final question, like after we go. And I tell them all the time, like, don't let me know.
I don't want to see your poker. I mean, show me your poker face. I don't want to know.
I'll figure it out. You know, I'll figure it out once it drops.
Yeah.
And another thing that always plays in the calculus, which I always find funny, is the times where you might get second guessed out of something by your teammates. And it's like,
oh yeah,
I thought this is this, you know, and like, no dude, it's
I've
not.
Seen many marriages end over that. So people take it very seriously. Well, I was going to say this, but she said,
well, I think that's, it's so, I'm gonna let the smoking curtains out now. But we use at work, in order to get Wednesdays off, I always tell them that I'm doing marriage counseling. And honestly, I don't think I'm lying, because we've been doing this for 5 years, and this is literally me and my wife's only date night out a week. So we look forward to Wednesdays. And I effectively think it is marriage counseling. It's couples counseling. Like, we sit here, we talk over things, we communicate through the questions, and there are many a times where something like that happens, but yeah, after a while, we're just like, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. You know, it's any given Wednesday, just like any given Sunday, it's any given Wednesday. So
that's also one of my favorite parts of this job too, is, you know, meeting guys like you and everybody else. This is, you know, at first this was just a way to make some extra money, have some fun, but I made a lot of friends over the years doing this. I mean, people that, you know, make a difference in my life and I make a difference in theirs. So this is, it's been a big blessing in that regard.
Yeah, it's huge, and we appreciate what you do. It's a lot of fun. One second. Since you did bring that up, what are some of the most memorable experiences you've had since hosting or playing?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's been a ton of, but I'll just hit a couple of bullet points here. Like, the biggest one, obviously, is Austin coming out of his shell. That's been the best of all of it. But, you know, some other memorable things have happened. I never in my life tried Fireball until I did a trivia show. Back in 2018, girl comes up during the show and she says, hey, I bought you a shot. Are you allowed to do shots? I said, absolutely. So before I looked to see what she had, I just assumed it was, you know, tequila or something like that, right? And then I looked down, I said, what is this? She said, Fireball. And I'd never tried it. And I'm not going to lie, I was not looking forward to trying it. But I thought, well, I mean, I can't punk out, right? I got to drink it. So I drank it and I thought, wow, this is really good. Now, obviously, it's not for everybody, but I'm a big fan of it. So now it's like one of my favorite shots to do.
Can't do it.
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of people can't. And the thing was, I just thought it would set my mouth on fire, but it was actually tasty. Another one of my memorable experiences, and I joke that by saying, yeah, they said that I had a good time that night. I'll take their word for it. At the VPs at the beach back in 2019, that night we had a representative in from one of the distilleries, and they were giving out free samples, free shots, free cocktails or whatever. So by the time we got to round six, I was feeling pretty good. And I'm still on the mic, still doing the show. I'm sure, you know, it sounded something like this for round six. All right, round six, we have movie clips, we have song lyrics, some cash phrases. I mean, I was feeling no pain. So I start playing Can't Fight the Moonlight from Coyote Ugly by Leanne Rimes. And I get up on the table and do the Coyote Ugly dance.
Oh, Jesus.
Everybody's having a great time with it. They came over and they told me to get off the table. And they said, hey, we love you, but you can't like do that ever again. Liability purposes, food safety purposes, you can't have feet up there by food. So don't do that. I'm like, okay. So even though I do remember doing that, I like to joke that, yeah, no, they said I had a good time. I don't remember. So that was also a lot of fun. Also, in the years I've been doing this, I've disqualified two teams for cheating.
I'm glad you brought it
sure,
up because
sure.
I know you mention it every week and I'm sure it's happened at least once or twice, but like, and it's always funny because you prefix this with, it's going to be awkward for me. And like, you're one of the nicest guys I've ever met. So like, I feel Thank like you. This would be like a tough conversation.
It is. And here's basically what we do with regards to cheating. All right. So I tell everybody at the beginning of the show in the rules, and the regulars, they don't listen to it because my regulars don't cheat anyway. I mean, I keep an eye on everybody anyway, but I just already know, like, I'm not going to look at Doug. They're not cheating. But for the final question, I would just kind of scout around. But during the show, I will too. But I always say at the beginning of the show, once I begin reading the question out loud, everybody on the team, on any trivia team, whether they're playing or not, needs to put their mobile devices face down or put them away until after the team turns in the answer. Once you turn in your answer, you can look at your phones. I don't care. But until then, I don't care what, you know, notification or message you got waiting for you. It can wait until after your team turns the answer in. So when I catch somebody on their phone, I'll approach them and I'll always give them a warning the first time, unless it's the final question. If I catch on the final question, you're disqualified. But I've only disqualified two teams in 6 years. Now, trust me, I've caught way more than two teams in 6 years. But 9 times out of 10, when I catch somebody cheating and I tell them, hey, I need you to put that phone away, they leave. They're embarrassed. They realize they're not doing very well, which is why they're cheating. So they leave. But the two teams I've disqualified continued cheating after I caught them and told them to put it away. And what kind of idiot do you have to be to A, do that for a free trivia show, and B, do it after I've caught you, knowing I'm going to be keeping my eye on you for the rest of the show? Well, they did anyway. The first one was back in 2019, and it was an old guy at the Mellow Mushroom in Jack's Beach, and he had a hat on that said Navy Veteran. We had a full house that night. We had about 140 people that night, so I can't watch everybody. But my regulars, oh, they'll police the teams for me, and I need them to. So a girl comes up to me, and she shows me a video of the guy cheating. And I kind of teased her. I said, wow, instant replay for trivia. You guys don't play, do you?
I was saying, I don't feel too bad now because I feel like me and Nicole like scout that out. And I'm pretty sure we're not the only ones.
Oh, no, you're not. And I need my regulars to do it, especially. I mean, you've seen the size of the crowds we get on Wednesday. I can't see everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, fact of the matter is most people don't cheat. Some do. And when they do and I catch them, they stop. That one guy, though, he kept doing it. And the funny thing was I could tell he was doing it, A, because I saw his eyes, and B, he was always one of the last ones to bring his answers up, and they were all correct. That tells me he was taking the time to Google it and see what he can find. So when I made the decision to disqualify him, I'm not going to lie, I was nervous, because when you tell somebody they've been disqualified, they're probably not going to take it very well. And we wait until the end. All right, guys, here are your scores going into the final question. I will omit their team name. I will not let them know before then they've been disqualified. And the reason why is we want them to stay there and continue buying food, drinks, whatever from our customers, the venue.
Yeah.
The downside is, what are they going to continue buying? Probably drinks, and then they might get more, you know, agitated, more irritable.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, if the guy comes up to me, he's an old guy, and if he comes up to me and he, you know, and he gets belligerent, and then if he gets physical, I'm a schmuck if I beat up an old Navy vet. But you know what the worst scenario is? What if he kicks my ass? Then I can't show my face around there. Aren't you the guy that got his, you know, butt kicked by the old guy? Yeah, that was me.
Old man strength is a thing, dude.
Oh, no, I know it is. But anyway, so I'm thinking whatever the outcome is, it's not going to be good. So when I finally told him, though, all he did was just kind of, you know, brush me away with his hands and go, eh, and walked away. I'm like, oh, thank God, that's it. The other time, and I think you guys might have been there, was the Halloween show in 2020.
Okay.
Were you guys still living here at the time? I know y'all moved away for a year. I don't remember if y'all were there at the time.
No,
or not.
No, we were gone.
You were still gone at that time? Yeah, okay. We were gone. So did I ever tell you the story about Pirate Bitch?
No.
Okay. All right. So it was our Halloween show, and I dress up like a pirate pretty much every Halloween. So dressed up as a pirate for the Halloween show, and a young team, I caught them cheating. So I told her to put the phone away. And I noticed, and they were still cheating, and they were bringing all their answers in late, and they were all right. So I noticed that she was still looking at her phone, and the guys on the team were like looking over at her phone too. So they weren't very, you know, very discreet about it. So I made the decision to disqualify them. So their server, Mike Newman, he said, "All right, I'll go tell them." I said, "Please do." Well, when the show's over, you know, I always, you know, go say goodbye to the teams, talk to everybody, hang out for a bit. Then I decided I'll go over and have a word with them. I go over and they're already gone. I'm like, okay, well, one less thing to worry about. As I'm packing up to leave, I noticed they put their answer pad back in the answer bucket. And when I looked at it, each slip had a single word on it. And each slip said, "This show is lame. F you, pirate bitch."
Wow.
And I wasn't angry. I was more amused than anything else.
Because I'd probably chuckle.
I was laughing. I'm like, yeah, how dare you disqualify us for cheating after you told us not to? I mean, come on. So I called Mikey over there. I said, "Hey, look what your friends left me." Now, he was embarrassed. I'm like, "Don't be embarrassed. Not on you. It's on them." So I said, "I can't keep them from coming in here anymore, but they can't play trivia ever again." So the funny thing about that, though, was, so fast forward several months, this dude comes up to me on Wednesday and says, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Good." He goes, "Listen, I want to do this face-to-face, man-to-man. I want to apologize for the nasty gram that we left you for Halloween last year." I said, "Oh, you're Team Pirate Bitch?" He goes, "Yes, I am." He goes, "That was me. I had too much to drink. Not an excuse, but I just wanted to offer you face-to-face apology, man-to-man." I said, "I can respect that." Shook his hand. He goes, "We're not going to be playing anymore." I said, "Well, I don't think you needed me to tell you that." He goes, "Nah, we sucked." So, but he was cool about it. So
that's good.
Yeah. But those are the only two teams I've ever disqualified. Anybody else I've caught cheating, I tell them they leave.
Yeah. You know, it just blows my mind. And we say this all the time. I'm just like, why would you cheat on a free trivia show? Like, I get that you can win some, you know, free money and free pizza. That's always good stuff. But like, is it really worth it though? I feel like it's like the kids who cheat on online video games. It's like, okay, cool. It's not like there's $1 million on the table or anything like that. What are you showing that you're cheating? You're not proving anything.
Right. And why would you, if you're having a good time, why would you risk cheating, getting caught, getting banished where you can't come play anymore? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me either. But, oh, one other thing too, is we were talking earlier about the trivia team names. All right. I did write down a couple of them so I wouldn't forget some of the funnier ones that we've had. Like I mentioned, when I played, our team was Anne Frank's Hide and Seek Club. I would love to claim credit for coming up with that. I can't. My teammate Alex did. And when he did, and we were in first place one day, and they said, "In first place," and then the host, she paused. She goes, "You people are terrible." I'm like, "Sam Kinison." I stood up going, so she read it out. There was this mixture of groans and laughs and boos and stuff, which was fun. But anyway, I don't remember if I told you, but when Austin read the names out one time, Austin was reading the names out and he came across one and it was so funny. He goes, "This looks like it's somebody's name. Mike, what is that? Litter Us? Mike Litter Us?" So if you're listening, yep. Kind of say it kind of quickly, you'll pick up. Everybody in there is laughing. Now, my son, he's high functioning autistic. He knows what sex is, but nuances like that, he does not. So I spotted the entertainment moment. I got the mic from him and I said, "Who in the hell just made my kid say that in front of everybody in here?" So everybody in there is laughing and he's got the sheepish grin, which means he don't understand. I said, "You don't get it, do you, buddy?" And I held the mic up to him. He said, "No, sir." I said, "A lot of guys don't." And every woman in there started laughing and cheering and everything. So when it died down, I said, not me, but like other guys right there. Not me.
Definitely
not me. I said, "All right, I'll explain it when the show's over." One of the teams said, "Hey, we'll tell them now." I said, "Hey, Austin, why don't you go talk to them? Because I'm not looking forward to this conversation." So he gets up and walks over there. I'm trying to explain the rules for the next round and nobody is listening. They're all watching Austin at that time. And I said that too. I said, "You're all watching my kid, aren't you?" And they were looking at me like, "Yeah, dude, shut up. We're watching." So he approaches the table. Everybody's watching. It's one of those wait for a moments. And he's nodding like, "Right, right." Then he steps back, puts his hands on top of his head and screams, "Oh my gosh." And everybody in there starts laughing. And I said, "I think they explained it correctly." So that was the most, and he walks back to the table and he's beat red. So that was probably the funniest name we ever had in terms of interaction. I would say we do get some groans too. Like you were mentioning how Bill, they change their name almost every week.
Yeah.
One of our teams at my Tuesday show did that when the Notre Dame Cathedral burned. Their team name was Notre Flame.
Nice.
There was this, "Oh, boo," in there. And when Kate Spade, the handbag designer, when she passed away,
yeah,
somebody's team name that night was, who the hell is going to design our handbags now? And I didn't know what that meant. So people in there were booing and groaning, and I leaned into a table. I said, I don't get it. And they told me, and I got on the mic. I said, man, y'all are going to hell for that. I want you to know it. So yeah, I mean, I could just take up a whole show doing nothing but trivia team names, but those are some of the more memorable ones we've had over the years.
Nice. So I got to ask this question.
Sure.
With our trivia every week, probably my favorite part about it is, and most people's favorite part about it is halftime. And before the final question, we do free beer. So for those of you who haven't played trivia with us, Jonathan picks a song from his playlist and all out chaos ensues in V Pizza, because the first two teams to get the title and artist correctly and run it up to him get a free beer. We changed the way we used to do it, and if you want to go into that, I'd appreciate it, but if you don't want to, that's fine. But literally, dude, wars, and you want to talk about, like, you want probably beef and aggression, but it's always funny because it always just dies down after that like moment and it goes into the next week. But I can remember some memorable moments. This, did you come up with the idea of free beer, or did you get that somewhere and you want to explain?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I got the idea from another host because, you know, despite the fact that I've been hosting for so long, I always look when I go to another host show to see what they do to come up with some ideas, because, you know, I don't want to do the same thing every single time. I mean, it's 95%+ of the show is the same, but I like to mix things up a little bit to where it doesn't become stale or stagnant. And I saw a host one day doing the free beer contest, which basically was a chug off. And I'm like, oh, I could implement that. I actually had to ask the manager at V Pizza Fleming Island if I could, with it being a family friendly establishment, because Mellow Mushroom wouldn't let me do it. The Flask and Cannon loves that I do it. So I asked the managers there, and they like it too.
Nice.
So what we used to do is we would award points for whoever wins the chug off. So the first two teams to bring up the correct artist and title of the song I'm playing get their shot at the chug off. Whoever wins the chug off, you know, I'd give them 4 points. Runner up, I'd give one. Then I change it to 2-1. So it wouldn't just be primarily based on, you know, drinking ability rather than knowledge. Well, we did have a lady who complained about it to Trivia Nation. Her team had been coming for like maybe 3 weeks. And my boss at Trivia Nation asked me to stop awarding points for it. And I said, this is really going to tick off a lot of my regulars who've been coming here for 4 and 5 years.
Yes.
Because some rando comes in and, you know, ruins the party for everyone. But that's what I was forced to do. So what I wound up doing was, all right, we'll still have the free beer contest, but I'll award points for, you know, if you know the song title and artist. That way it is based more on knowledge than drinking. Still, the chug-offs are still fun because you have people that are like, all right, well, I still want to see if I can outdrink this guy. So we still do it just for fun. And some people, you know, every once in a while won't chug. They're just like, no, I just want my free beer. And hey, it's your beer. You can do whatever you want to with it. So yeah, it did really tick some people off when we switched that up, though. And I can't say I blame them. I mean, what's funny is when I do it, to see the stampede that comes up there. I try to pick tougher songs. Sometimes Austin will pick songs, then everybody runs over each other, hockey checking into barrels and things like that.
Yep.
To get up in line first. So that's kind of fun. And yeah, every once in a while somebody will bump somebody else, but they'll be over pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'll never forget. This was back at the old V Pizza location. One of the times it was a question, and that the way the layout was there, I feel like it used to be even more of a madhouse with people lining up. But one of the regular groups there, I think it was the Saunders, the couple, they would always sit by the bar.
Yeah.
I went jetting up from our normal fixture with the song and just speed and momentum. And I didn't mean to do it. I kind of did one of those jumping roll Travis Kelce kind of moves over Mrs. Saunders. Total accident. And I even said, I'm sorry, but ran up, gave the, you know, after it's all said and done and the dust clears, Mr. Saunders, he's a very large man and he was very unhappy at this. And he came and expressed his anger with me. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to throw bows. I'm like, please, please.
Not over the beer contest, please.
And yeah, so I went over and I apologized again in front of him so she can see that. And she wasn't trying to have my apology. And I'm just like, dude, what? I don't understand what else you want from me. Do you want me to buy your pizza or whatever? But you know, to that point, I can see where some disparity would come with the competition. However, comma, I still think it's awesome. And I think it was just an honest, you know, it was an honest mistake.
And oh, sure.
It wasn't intentional. I wasn't trying to pile drive the lady. But, you know, it's one of those things now I have to be cognizant about whenever I come up there. And it's funny you mentioned, like, even though we don't count the beer chug as points, you can tell there's definitely, like, we have our own, especially with the regulars there, it's still an underground competition, no matter what. Like, even if we're not awarded points for the chug off, there's still, like, the core group of us who we still, it's still part of the competition for us.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, anytime you and Bill go up there doing the chug off, I'm like, this is one of my favorite parts of the show right here, just to watch that. And I mean, because you guys are about even, you know, you'll win some, he'll win some.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool for me to watch it. But yeah, I like to add things like that. Also, some of the, and you guys probably picked up on it too, one, maybe two questions per night, I'll play a song that gives a hint as to what the answer is. What's funny is some people come up going, oh, did you really have to do that? It's like, did I have to? No, I don't have to. I get to. It makes it fun. I try to do that for the free answer too, by the way. And still, even so, it's not going to be a social. A social is when everybody gets the answer right. Even when we have the free answer, people go get the free answer. They write down the free answer on the piece of paper and put it off to the side. And then when the question comes around, I'll play a song that indicates it's the free answer. And we'll still have teams miss it. So like the other night, you know, it was a safe. So I played Safe and Sound. I was either that or Safety Dance I was going to play. So I play Safe and Sound because the free answer is safe. And we still had about three teams that did not get the answer right.
Hey, you can lead the horses to water, but you
can't. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Cool. So we'll kind of cruise in here and wrap it up a little bit. We've been going for about an hour and some change now. What are some of the hardest questions you've seen asked or you've asked that you can recall?
Well, one of the first questions I saw is one of the more, I guess, ridiculous questions said, in Great Britain, spotted dick is what? And it gave some multiple choices. And the correct answer, and I didn't know this. It's
bread pudding, basically.
Yeah, it's a type of bread pudding. Exactly right. I didn't know that. So it's funny. I read it out. I said, spotted dick. And then I read it again. And I said, I think the writer wrote this down just so us hosts had to say it like three times. So because, you know, the chuckles from the crowd that were coming, you know, were funny. One of the other more entertaining final questions that we got was, put the following songs about, quote unquote, the posterior. In chronological order of when nice. They came out. Yeah, and it was like like Low by Flo Rida, I think Thong Song by Cisco, and a couple of others. I don't, My Humps by Black Eyed Peas,
okay.
and something else I don't recall. But anyway, so that was one of the more entertaining questions that I got. Some of the more challenging questions, like even last night, you know, put the following world cities in geographical order. And if they're all like on one continent, maybe you can kind of figure it out. But when you start, you know, like we had London, Tokyo, you know, Athens and Beijing. It's like, holy smokes, man, that's kind of scattered out there. Let me
now
think.
Now, in what terms of geographical order? You ask me, just so you know, when you ask me these questions, they start running through.
Gotcha. Northernmost to southernmost.
All right.
Yeah, northernmost to southernmost.
So give me these again if you
okay,
remember.
Okay, sure. Yeah, Lisbon, Portugal. And they didn't tell you what country it was in. They basically just, you know, you have to figure it out.
That's fine.
Lisbon, Athens, Beijing, and Tokyo.
Okay. So northernmost to southernmost?
Yeah, let's see if you get this right. Actually, I'm sorry. It wasn't Lisbon. It was London. I knew it was one that started with L.
My bad.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, London, Athens, Tokyo, Beijing. So put those four in geographical order, northernmost to southernmost.
Okay. My guess is going to be London, Tokyo, Beijing, Athens.
It was LBAT. Beijing was second. Athens was third. Shit. And then Tokyo. Yeah. So I think we had like one team last night got it right, which was impressive. Now, the hardest final question I've ever seen in my life. I didn't write it, but I was playing that night. And I tell you, I got so freaking giddy when I saw this because I know everything about U.S. presidents. I mean, in terms of when they served, you know, what party they were in, stuff like that, right? If you name any year that America's been in existence and say who was president in that year, I could tell you. So I got so excited when the final question was not what you normally see, which is put these following four things in some kind of order, chronological, geographical, numerical, whatever. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was here are four ranges of years that are presidential terms. name who was president in each one of those years. And either all four are right or all four are wrong. And I'm like, whoa, I've never seen a final question like this before. And my teammates, they were so funny. They just slid the pad and the pen over to me because they knew me with presidents. They said, yeah, go right ahead. I assume we're wagering 15. I hadn't even looked at it yet. I said, yeah, we're wagering 15. But now for me, I got it right because that's my jam. If you don't know that much about presidents to the degree that I do or historical majors do or whatever, then it's going to be very difficult for you to get that right. Because again, you might get three of the four, but if all four aren't right, then so that was a very unusual final question to do because normally it's always put in some kind of order.
So I'm glad you brought that up because I already knew what we've had this discussion and I knew what your hidden talent was. Yeah. And I was going to catch you on the spot today. And just so
okay.
You guys know listening, I did not tell Jonathan this ahead of time, but
yeah, I didn't know this was coming.
I'm going to give you the number of the presidency and I'm going to see if you can tell me. I got three of them I chose and I'm going to see if you can tell me who the president
okay,
is.
Okay. Before you do, just for those of you who are listening, sometimes I get them incredibly quickly. Sometimes it takes me a while, but I will get it. All right, go ahead.
And I hope they do because I want to see the process because I've asked them this question before months ago and the process is pretty crazy. So okay. Who was the 17th president?
That was Andrew Johnson. And the reason I got that one quickly just because Abe Lincoln was the 16th. So he's kind of like a landmark I go by.
Okay.
Or a checkpoint.
Who was the 7th president?
7th president, let's see. That was Andrew Jackson.
Yes. Who was the 24th president?
That was Grover Cleveland.
Fucking three out of three.
Who was also the 22nd too.
Nice. Three out of three. Yeah. Awesome.
I'm also like that with Heisman Trophy winners after 1980 through today. But again, like with presidents, though, it takes me a while to kind of, all right, hold on, let me think here. It might take me a little while to figure out. But and now the reason I got so good at presidents is just when I was in seventh grade, we were on a Knowledge Bowl team, and I was on the social studies team. And our social studies teacher, Ms. Robinson, like pounded into our heads all of the presidents. And at the time, the president of the U.S. was Reagan. Mm-hmm. So it went through Reagan. But, I mean, we had to know, like, who was assassinated, the four presidents who died that weren't assassinated, and things like that. So I don't know why this stuff stuck with me, but it did.
I remember you telling me that, and I just think that's so awesome. At seventh grade, you were learning stuff like that, because that's crazy. I mean, like, hell, I can't even do that now. And just thinking, you know, wow, where have our education system gone?
Right. Now, I'll also tell you, though, but like if somebody says, who was the first president to use a telegraph? I have no idea.
Yeah.
No clue. Who was the first president to appear on television? I've actually heard three or four different answers for that. Who was the first president to have his photograph taken? No clue. So those things, I don't know. But if it's like, you know, who was in office this time or who was the 23rd president or something like that, yeah, I could tell you that. But those other things, what was President FDR's dog's name? I have no clue. No idea.
Well, that's good because I don't either. Awesome. Well, hey, we'll give this a close here. I really appreciate your time here, John.
Oh, man, it's been a pleasure.
One more time, can you give everybody the names and locations of places that you do trivia? That way, if they want to come check it out.
Sure. All right. So, if you go to trivianation.com, you can put in like your zip code and a day of the week or whatever, and it'll show you where all of our shows are that belong to Trivia Nation any day of the week in the entire state of Florida. I mean, we're all over Florida. Most of our shows are here in Northeast Florida, but we've got a bunch in you know, the Orlando, Tampa area, and we have some in Southeast and Southwest Florida as well. As far as my shows, the ones that I personally host, every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m., at the V Pizza Flask and Cannon in Jacksonville Beach. It's right beside Lynch's. I do a pop culture show that starts at 7:30. And each of our shows, you know, go between hour 45 to 2 hours. I do the free beer contest at that show as well. My Wednesday show is at the V Pizza in Fleming Island, which is on Highway 17. They were on 220, but they recently moved over to Highway 17 over near the Church of the 1122. And that's a 7 p.m. show. That's also an 80s, 90s, 2000s pop culture show. And we do the free beer contest there as well. And then finally, my Thursday show is at the Miller's Ale House at the Avenues, which is at the corner of Southside and Phillips Highway. And that's a general knowledge show where, you know, and we don't do the free beer contest there, but it's an incredibly fun show. So, yeah, come check us out. We'd, you know, be honored to have you.
Awesome. Yeah, guys, if you haven't done trivia or you want to try it out, please come check it out. I would err you against coming to Fleming Island because you're going to get your asses kicked by the Fraggle Rockers. But
in all likelihood, yes.
Still, please come out anyway. But yeah, dude, thank you very much for coming. This was a lot
of fun.
My
pleasure.
And with that said, guys, thank you very much for listening. Once again, please go to Apple Podcasts, leave that 5-star review. It would mean a lot to me. That way I can beat the fill in the blank with whatever's winning this time. I didn't look up any stupid podcasts to tell you, but I'm sure if you go on Apple Podcasts, you'll see there's plenty of them and you'll ask yourself how these people got this many views, but I digress. Anyways, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. And once again, that offer still stands. If you do come to trivia, I will buy you a free beer. Take it easy, guys. See ya.
He was eyeing my disease just like a nun. He was dolphin, yes, he was the lung run. His hair cast like stone. His shirt was left on.